as Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yehudi, he was Jewish in all his being, so he was called Ish Yehudi. He fulfilled his mission in life as being a real Ish. What kind of Ish? Yehudi. Moshe, Ish Elokim. Moshe got to the highest level of his being, being the man of God. And Eliezer came to the highest level of being a slave, fulfilling his task in life, and that moment is called Ish. But when he finishes this highlight, he is again a slave to tell us that he fulfilled his mission in life, and the idea is to teach us. As we always say, it's not a story. What is a slave? Eved Hashem. A slave of God. Eliezer's got a daughter. He wants her to marry Yitzchak. Doesn't work. Avraham Avinu tells him clearly, cannot be. And he sends him
to find slave.
Somebody else instead of his daughter. And you think what Eliezer is thinking to himself.
It can't be very
good. Now, if I want my daughter
not good enough for me
to get married to Yitzchak, I will try and find faults in everything I find now. Every girl I find something else is wrong with. So look what he's doing, this guy. He's getting blessed from Avraham Avinu. A big blessing to be successful. But when he gets there, he is asking God to bless him again. Why? Avraham Avinu blessed you. Blessed not enough?
No.
Believe me, if Avraham Avinu would bless me, I would be very satisfied. Especially if the mission is not for me, it's for Avraham Avinu.
But you are not Eliezer, that's why you will be satisfied.
No, but in addition, if you got a blessing from God, you wouldn't say no.
Yes, but the thing is it necessary?
Yes.
That's the question.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Is it necessary for Eliezer?
Yes.
To
yes.
ask another blessing?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Because he's asking for help.
Because he could fail.
Why?
Because he was only a slave.
Because like you say, he has a daughter. She's not good enough. He can't fail.
So he is so what is he frightened of?
He's frightened of letting down himself.
Not to find the right
not
girl.
To do the right thing. Yes. To make a wrong decision.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Because if you think that your daughter is the best thing in the world, then that's your daughter.
Yeah.
So every girl you will look for what? You will look
for
sorrow. Exactly, look for something is missing. Then when he sees Rivka coming, and then he's asking God if the girl that I will see and ask her to give me water, and she's going to give me water and also the camels, that's the girl. Okay. He sees this girl coming and he runs to her. 1 minute. Well, why do we run? Then he's asking her, can you give me something? She gives him and he said, you know what? Not only you, I'm going to give all your camels. 10 camels. You know how long it takes? 10 camels.
Yeah.
And now he's there with 10 camels, also 10 slaves. And they're all looking like this at Rivka running.
3 years old.
Not helping her. Not helping her. What?
3 years old.
How dare you? Look at this girl coming and going, coming and going, coming and going with these heavy buckets with water, and you don't even help her? Is this nice? Is this a nice behavior? Disgusting. And also, only after she finishes giving water to all the comers, says, ah, and then he gives her the presents. Doesn't even ask her who she is. So first of all, we want to understand this point. Why doesn't he help her? Or at least the slaves with him. Why don't they help her? He says, because you see, he's asking God to find the right girl for the house of Avram, for Yitzchak. This is a house of Chesed. Chesed at the highest level there is. How can he know who is the right girl? So if she's going to go through a test, then I can know. The test is, she has to give water to the 10 camels.
Alone.
But she promised you, so you, again, you see you're successful. She said exactly what you wanted her to say. Says maybe she's one of those who says a lot
does nothing.
Exactly. We are now after the election. All the promises. Let's see what's happening with them now.
We still have two more weeks.
Yes. But we have all the parties in. They also promises. They also promised we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Not only the mayor, they're also a part of the thing. Now let's see what they're doing with all the promises. So also Eliezer, he looks at her. Look, this girl, she's going to give water to 10 camels? Well, maybe she's one of those blah, 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 and she doesn't do it.
Okay, so they...
Doesn't deliver. Promise? No, doesn't deliver. So he makes sure that she does what she promises. And when he sees this, he realizes that's the girl. But now he doesn't even ask her because he knows that's her. Then they go to her house. They bring them food. He doesn't eat. You know, he's hungry. He didn't eat for the whole day or who knows how many days. But he says, 1 minute before we start eating, I want to tell you why I'm here. Eat! Come down! You can tell it after dinner. Why do you need to tell it before?
Maybe it's not enough kosher.
Hmm?
No.
No, he ate later. Because he wanted to accomplish his mission.
Levan was...
the mission is more important than he.
The brother of...
No, he checked the kosher certificate.
Hey, Adi, the mission is more important than his needs.
Yeah, but is it nice? Think about it. Is it nice that people invite you to eat?
And you don't eat.
And you don't eat, and you ask, first of all, I've got a demand. First of all, eat. Then, you know, while you're eating, you can start talking. Then, the next morning he takes her, and he doesn't want to hear no. No, the Lavan and Betuel say to him, let her stay a few days to get used to the idea she's going to leave home. It's a little girl. What? No? Now, is this all the things he did necessary for the Shidduch?
Yes.
No.
From the point of view of the Shidduch? No. From the point of view of Eliezer, yes. Okay. Why? He is afraid that if he will stop and start thinking, who is going to come and... Yetzirah. Is going to come to him and try to, look, she's not eating nicely. Oh, look at her, she doesn't look so good. Ah, oh, she's not such a tzaddik as he said. He will try and find faults. Why? Because...
His daughter.
He's got a daughter.
Yeah.
So Eliezer is teaching us
that
he doesn't care. He is doing what Avram Avinu, his master, asked him to do in the best way he can. Nevertheless, he asks a special blessing from God. He does everything so quickly that he wouldn't have the time to think and do something wrong. The Midrash says, Yafa sichatan shel avdei avot yoter mitoratam shel banim. The conversation of the slaves, of the fathers talking about Eliezer, the slave of Avram, is more beautiful than the Torah of the sons of Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Wow.
This is unbelievable. But if we start learning what's going on here, on what kind of slave do you think?
Of course. Well.
So on what kind of slave we're talking here? Eved Hashem. We are the slaves of God. Being a slave of God, Eliezer is teaching us how to do the job. That's why Eliezer fulfills his task in life as being a slave to the moment that he's being called Ish. Because he did it. But then he comes back to be a slave to teach us this is the way to fight Yetzer Hara. This is the way to do the right in the eyes of God. So Eliezer teaching us it was to be the slave of God. Somebody asked me, so anyway, we are slaves. Yes, he said, Evan Gvirol says, Avdei Azman, Avdei Avadimim, the slaves of time, they are slaves of slaves. Eved Hashem hu levado chofshi. The slave of God is the only free one. What does it mean? Am I a slave or I'm not a slave? So the real truth is, if we start thinking a little deeper, we have built from a body and a neshama. The neshama is chelek eloka mimal. It's a part of God. And the right order is, the neshama is the master and the body is the slave. Now, if the slave becomes a master and the neshama becomes a slave, then we have a problem. That's Avdei Azman, Avdei Avadim. Then we are real slaves, because we are slaves of our desires, of our flesh and blood, physical joys, and all the other things. And we all know what we're talking about. But if the neshama is the master and the body is the slave, that's Avdei Hashem, Hem Chofshi. That's real freedom. Because you are listening to the part of God that is in you. So it's from one point of view a slave, but a slave in a good way, which is really a master. And that's the way to look at it. And who is teaching us this beautiful lesson? Eliezer Eved Avraham. The story is being told twice, because we have the whole story. There are a few minor changes in the story, but the story is being told twice to tell us how important it is to learn the story of how Eliezer brings a wife to Yitzchak.
Why did they say she was so young?
I try to understand it in a mean the same way as they say that Avram was the age of 5 or 4 or 3 when he discovered God. The age is not a physical thing; it's a spiritual thing. The idea is like when Avram Avinu, the idea was, or Chaim HaKadosh says, I think he was the age of 5. Another midrash says he was the age of 3 when he discovers God. But the thing is, if we look at the behavior of babies. What do they do at the age of 3? What do they do at the age of 5? We find out at the age of 3 they ask questions. They start asking questions. They look around, well, maze. At the age of 5, the questions are a little more sophisticated. And this is what Aaron Chaim explains, that the state of mind of Avraham Avinu when he discovered God was like at the age of 5. In other words, if we want to find God, that's the way we should think. It's, in other words, clear our mind and look at the world with clear eyes, with nothing that we have in our history or that we learned before. That's one of the reasons, by the way, we talked about also when there is something wrong in a Sefer Torah, a letter is not very clear, you don't call a Sofer Stam. You get a child to check it. And it's very strange. What does a child know about writing a Sefer Torah? Does the logical thing would be to bring a professional, to bring a Sofer Stam. But that's exactly the point. When you bring a Sofer Stam, he sees what's not there.
What he wants to see.
And this is there are a lot of experiments about this, how the mind, the imagination work. Mm. You can take words and change letters. And as long as you leave the first one and the last one, you will find out that you read what should be there, but not what's written. Because your imagination fills up the blanks. And all and it makes it right.
Or your experience. Even it's experience.
So in other words, that's what they call dimyon monche. That's what they call lachshov michutz lakufsa. Think out of the box. Because when we are in a certain environment, we know what's v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. We know what it is. So even if we have a letter missing, we still will read v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. And even if we mingle all the words in the middle, we still see the letter and we will think what it is. And but there's a lot of things like this in the mind. It's like when you are concentrated on something, you don't see what's happening. They have this, I'm sure you all saw it, like they have this monkey going in between people. But they ask you to count. You see people playing with the ball and they ask you to count how many times they give the ball to each other. So you count. And then they tell you, did you see anything else but the people in the picture, and you didn't. Says, look again and see if you find a monkey. Then you look and you see that in the middle of the picture, a monkey walks from one side to the other side, but you didn't see him. Why didn't you see him? Because you were busy counting the ball going from one place to another place. And you won't believe it, but that's real true. And you can check it again and again and again. You will see the monkey is walking there and you didn't see him. It's the same film.
So our sages were more intelligent. Of course.
So when you want to check if something is wrong in Sefer Torah, you bring somebody whose mind is clear and clean, and this is the first time he sees the Sefer Torah. So he doesn't know what the word should be. He knows only, he's only now started reading. So he says, ba, u, he cannot read. The Vav is not a Vav. It's a Yud. He says, Barich. No Baruch. But when so first time we'll read it, he will read Baruch. He wouldn't see that the Vav is cut. And the same way is in a lot of things in life. When we want to do something, we have sometimes to clear our mind. Because that's the only way that we can do the right thing. That's why Eliezer is doing all those things in order to be in a state of mind that he can see the mission. And that's it, not anything else. So we learned a little about Eliezer, and we learned what is to be a slave of God. And we also understood that in spiritual matters, we shouldn't trust so easily. We should check things the same way, at least, that we check money and diamonds and other things. And let's go a little back for a few minutes to
Chayei Sar.
What is the idea behind dividing the years? V'yu chayei Sarah 100 shana, 20 shana, v'sheva shanim. So there is a midrash that says, Rashi brings it.
When did she give birth?
The age of 100.
100. So that's the first.
Okay, but there is a midrash that says that she was at the age of 100, it's the age of 20 for sin. The same way she didn't sin in the age of 100, she didn't sin at the age of 20. And she was beautiful the age of 20, like she was beautiful in the age of 7. And when you think about it, it's the opposite. When you're at the age of 100, you don't want to sin. Let's say your fight with your Yetzer Hara is a little different than when you're at the age of 20. At the age of 20, you have all the hormones and all the things, and you do things, and you run, and you do all the naughty things. You want to do them. You have the urge. You have the desire. But at the age of 100? So it should be the opposite. And the same thing. When is a woman beauty? The age of 7 or the age of 20? The age of 20. So what does it mean she was beautiful like the age of 7? So we understand that we're not talking about a physical thing. We're talking about a spiritual thing. So what's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is that the same way as at the age of 100 you haven't got the urge to sin, the same way was Sarah Imenu at the age of 20. She didn't sin. She didn't have the urge to sin.
Tzedika.
Yes. And at the age of 20, where is the... You're on the peak of the beauty, and Sarah Imenu was one of the most beautiful women in the world. We saw how the kings wanted her. But she, at the age of 20, was the same way as a girl...
She was naive. Seven.
Yes, naive in a way, didn't care about her beauty.
She's not vain.
It didn't do her anything. We all know that beautiful girls, especially when they come today, they dress nicely and they want to look the best.
They stay 3 hours in their mirror.
Sometimes, yes. She didn't do this. She didn't care about it.
That's right.
But the main thing is that the same thing is written also in Avraham Avinu.
So?
This is to show us that this couple, Avraham and Sarah, were one. They went through life together. And this is why both of them used every age in the right way, and all the days were equal in the good that they did in them. There is another midrash that talks about the years comparing to using time, but I'm not going to go into it now. 127 years Sarah Imenu lived together with Avram Avinu. And to understand who Avram Avinu is, there is a midrash that says that Odev Tzedaka V'Chesed is Avraham, and it's written about him bearing Sarah Imenu. So everybody's asking, sorry, one minute. If you want to say that Avram is Odev Tzedaka V'Chesed, I would say about Achnasat Orchim. Now, sitting, for example, sitting in the entrance of his tent in the middle of the day, in the middle of the heat, waiting for guests when he is 3 days after a Brit Milah, this is sacrifice. This is Chesed. This is Rodef Chesed. But the Midrash says that Rodef Chesed is that he buried Sarah. Sorry to tell you, I don't see a special Chesed in burying your wife. If somebody doesn't bury his wife, he's an evil man. What do you mean? It's only a normal thing. So what is so special about burying Sarah Imenu? But when we look what's written here, we will find out what's so special. What is a chesed shelemet? A true chesed. We have all kinds of chesed. This is when we give charity, we know who we gave it to, and the one who we gave know who gave it to him. There is a different level. We don't know who we gave it to, but he knows who gave it to him. And there's a higher level, we don't know who got it, and the one who got it doesn't know who gave it. But there is another level, and that's Chesed Shel Emet. That's the highest level there is. What is Chesed Shel Emet? A true Chesed is if you've got no benefit out of it. In other words, when we do things, even the joy of doing something good, when we have the joy, which is a good thing, but it's not Chesed Shel Emet. Because we have a joy out of doing it. So when can it be Chesed Shel Emet?
When you worry. Somebody.
They say, Chesed Shel Emet, Kvura. Kvura is Chesed Shel Emet. Right. Why is somebody. Burying somebody a Chesed Shel Emet? So the people say, because it cannot pay you back. This is stupid.
Because you're suffering.
Nothing to do, it's nothing to do with giving you back. Because here, it's the only Chesed which you've got no joy. On the contrary, you said. Now look at Avram Avinu.
Depends on how he feels about his wife.
Exactly. So let's see what Avram Avinu is doing. Avram Avinu makes sure that he is going to bury Sarah Imenu in Ma'arat HaMachpelah and not at any other place. And he's got all these negotiations going on in order to do the best for Sarah. This is Chesed Shel Emet. Because while he's doing this, he is so, let's say, upset. Because Sarah is lying there, and we all know that the kavod of the met is to burying as quickly as possible. He is said that Sarah Imenu died. He is said that he didn't bury her yet, but with all this, he's still going on, doing all the negotiation in order to buy Ma'arat HaMachpelah and to put Sarah Imenu in the Ma'ara. This is Chesed Shel Emet. When you do something that you get nothing out of it. And nevertheless, at a time like this, you still do it in the best way you can, which Avraham Avinu is always doing, is showing you who you really are. And that's Avraham Avinu. And it's also showing us this beautiful zugiyut, this beautiful, how do you say zugiyut in English?
Marriage.
Zugiyut.
No.
Is there a word? Zugiyut?
Relationship.
A bond with a
shi- yeah, but no.
It's not a relationship.
No, relationship is yachasim, ma'arechet yachasim.
Portuguese.
I don't know.
It's companionismo.
Okay, companionship
is also okay. Let's say we all know what zugiyut is. Okay, so Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu are the symbol of a zugiyut that really complete each other. And we all saw how they behave with each other. It's unbelievable how Sarah Imenu was willing to give, and she gave, her slave girl to Avram to have a child.
Yes.
Which woman would do a thing like this? And Avram Avinu listens to Sarah, whatever she tells him. This is an unbelievable relationship. We should all hope to go in the way of Avram and Sarah. Use life at the best. and understand and realize that in any age, every position, every situation, there is a good in it. And if we learn to use the good of it, this is Baba Yaga.